And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning, everyone! It's episode 1-0-2-6 of Down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to theathletic.com/downtodunk and get The Athletic for $3.99 a month. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Woo!
Slam through.
Taylor.
I have to do this in an accent. You'll see why. I told my wife I was making a bicycle out of spaghetti. She didn't believe me until I rode past her. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle.
Slam through.
And Jay.
It's Jay.
Jay's back.
It's back.
Welcome back, Jay.
Welcome back.
For Jay's one, back. For one week only.
1 week only.
1 week only, and then I'm gone again next week. But
back
then I'm back permanently forever and ever.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What you're never going again?
I mean, I would love to. I am absolutely free to jump in virtually next week. Wouldn't be a problem.
Why don't you?
Well, then I will.
Wait, I'm gone the week after. We got to enjoy the times where we have what we got.
What?
We gotta enjoy the times we got while we got them.
We gotta get it out.
We gotta enjoy the times we got while we got them.
Hey guys, I'm sorry. Summer's crazy, man.
Summer,
you know what I'm saying?
Dude, summer?
Summer, bro.
Dude, the craziest season out of all four. Second craziest, gotta be autumn.
I'd like to make an announcement. We are having a NBA draft party on the on the night of the draft.
Woo! Party time!
Let's get it, boy!
I actually don't know what venue it is.
We're having it at Fassler Hall. In Midtown, OKC.
Wow.
Get you some sausages.
We'll be there. Seriously.
Maybe at schnitzel?
At 6 o'clock. So a lot of times they only have... it's only all ages till 8 o'clock. I've made this an all ages event throughout the night. So
everybody.
Like you told them, like, hey, heads up. This needs to be all ages all night.
Correct.
And they said, yes, please.
I said, okay.
Did you show them pictures of the lottery party?
Yeah.
Said, look at this.
Oh boy. Look at you.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
So what's the date? July 29th?
July 29th.
6 p.m.?
Yeah, be there.
Till time unknown?
I mean, the Thunder have like the 55th pick in the draft, so...
All night long.
Stay.
All night.
Hang out.
All night long. All night.
I'm just trying to recreate that Bon Jovi magic. That was...
Nothing.
It's... Yeah.
You can't do that again.
I'm ready to party.
Party.
Hey, can I just say this as a preemptive comment about the draft? If you see us, come and say hi to us, except for Andrew. Andrew goes into a shell. Everybody else, come and say hi to us.
Stay away.
Because there's all these people that I'm like, I wanted to
meet.
Most
people only care about meeting Andrew, though.
I know, that's the problem. So come meet us. We're very lonely at those parties.
You want to meet me?
Hey, I'll tell you, the lottery is a lot of fun. I think the draft is going to be... There's not as much, I don't know. So let's rate it drama-wise, draft a lottery.
The thing about it is that they have, in the past, we've had like the 21st pick or like the 17th pick or whatever it is. And that's the only thing we've had to look forward to at these draft parties. And there was a lot of anticipation just for that. So imagine what it'll be like for that to happen at 6, 16, 18, and then early in the second round, too. like early in the second round, those are nice picks. 34, 36, those are nice picks. So to me, there's a lot. It's obviously be more exciting if we were getting like the second pick.
Which we might.
Which not is the still, second. Which is still possible. I actually contributed to an article with Kelly Eco about the Thunder trading for the second overall pick.
How would they do it? Think.
Oh, you did.
Tune in.
Oh, it hasn't happened yet.
Tune in.
Tune into the article?
Tune into the article.
Where am I tuning in?
It's at theathletic.com. You can go to theathletic.com/downtodunk and get The Athletic for $3.99 a month.
A month?
Yeah.
You can also listen to the article by just reading it out loud and listening to
it. Or having a friend read it to you.
Yeah, or you can highlight it and then
ask push you. Speak.
Yeah, push speak.
What?
Your computer will read it to you.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Tune in.
Tune in.
Tune in.
I think that article drops Monday.
Andrew's all over, man. I was reading an article. It was Fred Katz. No, it wasn't.
James Edwards.
Somebody else. And they're like, Thunder. They don't know what to call you is my favorite thing. Thunder no. Thunder contributor, resident bad boy, Andrew Schleck.
What did they say it was?
I can't remember what you're talking about. I think it was trades. Like it was the
Thunder trading for the number one pick where they trade Shea for number one.
Andrew, I have a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
You doing this with Kelly.
Yeah.
You're doing an article.
An article.
So there has to be a little bit more like journalistic credibility behind it.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm trying to get some info on this.
I just sent him a message on Slack with the answer to
okay,
a question.
Okay, this is more like op-ed then. It's not sourced material.
Do they edit it to make it,
they didn't edit the last thing I did.
What they wanted to say?
They gotta tune in and read
you
it.
Tune in.
You
tune
gotta read it already.
You gotta figure out like what they can call you.
Yeah, I know.
Because that one was real, like it really was.
Thunder person guy.
Who sometimes talks about other things.
Which is when I am the like Thunder person guy because there's no other Thunder person guy.
There's not a lot of us left. There's not a lot of y'all left, really.
Hey Ram. Hey gentlemen.
Hey.
Fassler Hall, hey. July 29th, 6 p.m.
Yeah, I'm going to be chugging beers and cramming dogs, man.
Listen, if we get over 250 people.
Okay, yes.
The L-Man's going to chug a boot of beer.
No, I don't want to. Don't.
Sorry,
oh,
man.
Das Boot.
I'm sorry, it's
gonna
set. Do that. It's set.
And he's going to cram a boot of dogs.
Cram some dogs.
Hey, so speaking of, ask Sticky dogs, Wizard, man. Ask a question. Sticky Wizard 00.
Ask Sticky Wizard.
He said, how long would it take you to eat 76 hot dogs? Joey Chestnut?
I could get that. I could get that done. Starting Friday morning, I could get it done by Sunday evening.
That's actually pretty realistic.
So it's three full days.
I could do it.
Just meals.
I have a theory about Joey Chestnut.
I'm eating them throughout the day. I could do it throughout the day.
Listen. How many hot dogs is that per meal? It's like roughly ten meals, right?
Mm, yeah.
So
yeah. 7.6.
You're eating. So it's obviously 72 hours and 3 days. You're a little over a hot dog.
The issue
an
is
hour.
The bread.
Every hour.
I could do that. Oh, easy.
That's why you dunk the bread in water.
But you're not going to eat hot dogs overnight.
Probably could.
So you're going to have to do probably, let's just call it two hot dogs an hour
for
the time
that
you're
awake. But I wake up in the morning, I'm hungry. If I'm hungry, I'm going to eat three hot dogs. I can do that. Just
cram some doggies.
Yeah.
You can eat three hot dogs just like that, huh?
Yeah. I could eat three hot dogs right now. Fire them up.
Dude, Andrew? you could shove a weenie down there, no problem.
It's the bread.
I could eat three right now
in no time, but before in 15 minutes.
But do you have hot dogs?
Please go make me a hot dog. I'm hungry.
I don't think I have any hot dogs.
Listen, I have a Joey Chestnut theory. Okay.
All right.
Every year he breaks his own record.
Yeah, he does.
He's holding himself back.
Yes. He knows he can hit. Yeah. Like at home, he's hitting 95. He's like, let's, you know,
are you
I need
watching?
This career to space it.
Have you watched it?
Out. I mean, I watched the clips and stuff that
go
pop up.
Okay. If you watch it, you will not be saying this.
No. How do you break your record every single year consistently?
In the running for the most disgusting thing that we celebrate.
It is.
They're like, it's sick. Dipping hot dogs in water. And
yeah.
He is. There's...
Here's the thing.
He's just getting a little bit better, but there's no way he's holding himself back.
Here's the thing.
It's the hype of the moment, man. It's the hype of the moment.
That's his entire life.
None of his accolades are real because they've kicked out Kobayashi.
Yeah.
His main competition,
PEDs.
They need him back in.
Why did he get kicked out?
I think PEDs. I think he was using he
kicked himself out.
No. They're eating food. This is not
Have you ever there's podcasts and documentaries about these guys? It's not just eating food.
I watched the True Life I'm a Professional Eater on MTV way back in the day that had Kobayashi.
Mm-hmm.
And it had Joey Chestnut on it. And he was just like a young guy coming up in the game.
Mm-hmm. I know. Joey didn't need those PEDs.
Joey C.
Kobayashi kicked himself out, bro.
Whatever, man. I want him back. I don't care.
So the Suns went up last night 2-0 on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
One relatively comfortable lead. By 10 points.
it never feel like it was in doubt.
There were a few times where they cut it down to 6 and 7, and then Chris Paul would just
hit it down to 5 at one
point. Hit a stupid 3, or Devin Booker was just nuts. The amount of just big-time shots that he hit.
He was great.
And threes, when's the last time he's taken 12 threes? He's one of those guys, I was talking to someone else earlier this week, where he started his career as kind of a three-point shooter. That's what he was known for.
You got another podcast?
Don't worry about it, man.
Tune in.
Tune out and turn on.
I was trying to think what that was. I think you got it right. Was? Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
I can't remember what I was saying.
Good job, Luke. Let me interrupt you with something that is not relevant to what we're talking about at all.
Devin Booker came into the league as a three-point shooter.
Had that reputation. And then over the last 2-3 years, he's really developed such a good mid-range driving kick.
Everybody's like, he's mobile Anthony Morrow, you know? And
he's just so talented.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's getting to the point that he's a defender enough that can... Like, nobody's going to say he's a lockdown guy, but I think it'd be fair to say he's a plus defender.
Yeah, he's good.
And so, I don't know. He's in an echelon now that I didn't think he was in before this season, which apparently guys in the league knew the potential of Devin Booker. Yeah. I mean, Chris Paul, after the Western Conference Finals, said that he's the reason he wanted to come to Phoenix, mm-hmm. which is probably not the singular reason. But
no.
If he had a choice to go to Milwaukee or Phoenix, being closer to home was probably the larger factor in that versus Booker versus Giannis kind of thing, which I don't know if that was on the table, but I watched this Bucks team play and I'm like, yeah, if they had Chris Paul, they would have run through this playoffs.
Yeah. I don't think it was really on the table for Milwaukee. Yeah. That was the most threes he's taken in the playoffs so far, Tayshaun. The next highest is 10. He's only taken double-digit threes twice, last night and then against the Lakers in their final game.
And this is his first time in the playoffs, correct?
Devin Booker? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, first playoff run.
Wow.
They were 8-0 in the bubble.
Wow.
You remember
when we were so pumped on them in the bubble last
year. Do you remember how much we just dismissed it, though, to start the season? Like, 8-0 in the bubble? Who gives a crap? And it's like, oh, apparently it did something.
I did not dismiss it. I was all in.
Oh man.
It was fun, man.
Resident Hawks over here.
DeAndre Ayton being very, very, very good.
He was great. Did you see the clip of Monty Williams talking to him?
No. I don't watch clips.
Monty Williams is the best, man.
I can imagine. In my mind, I immediately went to this place where Monty Williams picked him up like a baby and just soothingly corrected his behavior or challenged
Pretty
him.
Much.
Hey, we love you. And he's just the sweetest human being.
He's super calm. Gives very clear directions on what he's supposed to do. He's just the best.
It's the perfect combination to get the absolute most out of DeAndre Ayton, and you're seeing it pay incredible dividends. He is really good. Kendrick Perkins said, now, it's Perk, and so I understand that there's a lot of insane content that sometimes comes from him.
But carry the hell on.
He said he's the second coming of David Robinson.
Whoa.
So I don't know what that means.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Talk about a center I did not pay a lot of attention to.
Well, and then Mikal Bridges last night was unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Too.
Well, and they just points. I think the thing is with the Suns, man, is they're just a incredibly balanced team.
Yeah.
Okay, you stop us, you know, getting to the rim. Well, guess what we're gonna do? Knock down an insane amount of threes, you know? Okay, if you guard the perimeter, guess what we could do is we can attack the mid-range. We can back down with eight and we can attack. It's hard, man, because you're in this era where everybody wants to discredit this playoff run because of the injuries and the weird season and all that, which is, I think there's validity to that argument. But I think this Suns team is legitimately a really, really great team.
Yeah, and by the way, every single player that's on the floor for them can pass at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
And I think, and I say that to also acknowledge, like, I actually kind of think the Bucks may pull it even 2-2 going back to Milwaukee.
I hope they do.
Because I just think that the Phoenix crowd is unreal and they're so good. Much fun. And I don't know, you can tell that there's something.
What kind of,
I don't know what's going on with Drew and Chris. They were horrible for a majority of the game last night.
Oh, my gosh. It drove me crazy because Giannis is doing everything.
He looked awesome and was doing. And it's, I don't know, this is just weird, like having a brother kind of life, but watching his brother on the sidelines, like. I can't imagine how angry he is when they're mocking him at the free throw line to do all those things and just how much he's pulling for him. And
I actually think it might be helping.
Cool storyline.
I feel like it might be helping him catch a rhythm because they're just counting for him.
Oh, cool.
Like, and it's great. Like the same every time.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's not even hindering him. I feel like it's almost helping him because he was
a stretch
incredible.
In the third quarter where he was, if he had any help, I think they would have tied the game.
Without a doubt.
He just was by himself.
You just need somebody to hit some shots. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't do it. The second coming of David Robinson thing is massively missing how good David Robinson was. And David Robinson's third season, he averaged 23 points, 12 boards, 2.7 assists, 2 steals, and 4.5 blocks per game.
Oh, wow.
So, Ayton, for whatever reason, Ayton... I just don't understand. Everybody loves DeAndre Ayton, and they want him to be good so badly that whenever he does something good, we're like, wow, look at that second coming of David Robinson.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy.
It's also just Perk.
It's not. No, it's everybody. It's everybody. Everybody wants Ayton to be good.
Okay.
Great.
What is your angle right now?
Do you want him to be bad?
I don't want him to be bad. I just think that calling him the second coming of David Robinson is insane.
Hey, I will say this. I'm pretty sure David Robinson came into the league at like 24 because of his.
Yeah, he was older, but you think that DeAndre Ayton is going to average 23, 12, and 4.5 blocks per game?
Different NBA, man. That's all I'm saying. It's just different NBA.
True.
It's hard different to... It's not apples to apples, man.
You know, put DeAndre Ayton in 1990.
Yeah, maybe. What year was that?
I love Ayton. I think he is...
Doesn't feel like it, man. I'm just letting you know.
I think he is good, but comparing him to David Robinson...
Man, you wrong for this one, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, guys.
Hater.
No, it's funny. It's like making comparisons. It's really like, all right, pick a center... That's not Shaq, not Hakeem.
Yeah.
David Robinson. He's like David Robinson. It's like, no, I don't think so.
I think he is. David Robinson on this Phoenix Suns team today at his age, now.
They would have never lost a game. The Suns would have never.
At David Robinson's age right now.
Never. Today. They would have never lost a game. 60
yet? No, he's probably in his 50s.
He's dead, dude.
Yeah, no.
He's not. Most definitely not.
He died last night.
God. Wow.
He said he watched DeAndre Ayton play. He said, that's all I've been waiting for.
He said, I'm back. He said, I'm back, baby. I'm out of here.
He's 55.
Okay. Oh, he's 55.
He can still play. He looks good.
Yeah.
He looks good.
He does. Play.
Thunder should draft.
Birthday.
I can't believe they're talking about it. They're talking about it on the broadcast last night. Like Drew, I think it's Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Devin Booker. After the finals are over, are going to get on a plane, head to Tokyo.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right
play
after
with the U.S. national team. I'm like,
yeah.
Tell you what, I probably wouldn't be doing. I can't imagine how exhausted
for your country,
be.
Jay.
Plus, that's gonna
so
be
selfish.
That's going to be like a bubble. There's
it's
no
called
fans.
Service.
If you're Devin Booker, though. Like you have a chance to win a title and then go play in the Olympics mm-hmm. and you're, 25 years old? Like it's got to be like the best thing ever, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, but Drew and Chris needed to just probably stay in Milwaukee.
I think the U.S. team is like watching him play. Like,
that is the reality. Is like the U.S. team has Kevin Love, so they don't really need anybody else.
That's right. That's right.
Chris Middleton, minus 15 plus minus last night.
Chris is good, man. I think that Milwaukee's going to get a bump from the crowd. Like, I think there's going to be a lot. And it may be 3-1 when they go back, but I do feel confident. I think they're going to win game three here.
I also feel like this Sunday is pretty consistent with how Chris plays game to game. I mean, he's been really good in these playoffs, but he has games like this because he's just a straight-up jump shooter. And playmaker to some extent too, but his scoring is going to come from jump shots.
Well, he's just not getting any calls. It's one of the biggest problems. Mm.
I do also think the Bucks, like if you look at their roster as you get further down, like they just need, and this is where I think they're going to have some problems roster building going forward, is they need like peripheral pieces that aren't Pat Connaughton and Forbes and like
Jeff Teague played 12 minutes. They missed
Jeff Teague. Like,
yeah, they missed DiVincenzo.
That's a big deal. Yeah. But like having one more guy, like if they could have just got Torrey Craig along the way,
why don't they just play Justin Jackson?
But you know, like one guy that can come out and just knock down some shots. I don't know. It like playing Jeff Teague is problematic.
Yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, they just don't really have any other options.
It feels a little bit like the Thunder team that was rolling out Raymond Felton as their sixth wing.
Randy Foy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Randy Foy was so bad.
They just need one. And I don't know. I don't know the tools that they have to be able to get somebody like that. But if they're going to come back next year and try to compete again, and I'm not saying their season's over. Obviously, they still have a shot to win this year. But
yeah, they do.
If
they could just get Holiday and Middleton to hit shots. Shots the rest of the series, like they can win the title. They could do it.
I don't know. I don't know if they can stop the Suns. I think if the Bucks scored 120, I feel like the Suns could win 130 to 120.
They could. This Bucks team is still good.
It is. But in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, they just can't.
Asterisk or not, right?
They're just never on the same page with regards
to their offense does not feel as clunky so far as much as it feels like they're just missing.
It just reminds me of those Scott Brooks Thunder teams too, where it's like, okay, we're going to take the first three games. Actually, even some with Billy Donovan, where you waste so many games trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, let's just go out there. Yeah, but they wait, like, that first game. It's like, what is that? How is that the plan on how we're going to defend Chris Paul? Right? What everyone's been talking about, which just seems weird to me for an NBA coach that has that much experience.
Yeah. They're a tough team to defend. I mean, that's...
You talking about the Suns?
Yeah.
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 I don't know. I mean, they threw...
You've got David Robinson on the floor.
They threw several different looks at him, and they just...
Oh, yeah. They
destroyed everything they gave him.
They did drop coverage. It just didn't matter. And that's the thing. That's what I was trying to say about the Suns. Like,
yeah.
Have two guys that can attack the mid-range with absolute efficiency and precision in Devin Booker and Chris Paul. You've got... Apparently, 3-point marksman in Miles Bridges and
Mikal Bridges.
Why do I forever and ever and ever? I'm done. Jay Crowder, Bridges. Chris Paul, obviously, is a fantastic 3-point shooter. So is Devin Booker. Like,
yeah.
Then you have. I just think that it's really hard to defend this team, and that's why it makes me like. I just want to caution anybody that wants to kind of throw this to the side because it's not the Clippers or the Lakers or the healthy Nets or whatever. Like,
yeah,
this Suns team is not.
They're this
some
like
pushover.
Perfect hybrid team of modern NBA and this still kind of traditional, you know, point guard, point guard team in Chris Paul. It's so strange. It's not one or the other.
No, and the fact that they can keep Ayton on the floor by playing with guys around him, and he can defend okay.
I was gonna say he can defend the perimeter.
Yeah,
like that's the thing about him that. Is
doing
really
a decent
special.
Job, and he's for you know, and Giannis is he forced him to shoot more threes than you ever want Giannis to really take. How many did he take? Five, probably.
He did 1 of 5.
And you know, there's some things where Ayton can keep him in front of him a little bit, and Giannis is the perfect guy for a big that may be a little more laterally slow, which is not Ayton compared to Brook Lopez or whatever. But I'm saying like you know, just a big is gonna be naturally more slow side to side, like. you look at him, Giannis is the perfect player for you to do because you really can sag 2 to 3 feet, make that up, and if he hits 2 out of 5, you just concede that and move on. And so it does set it. Giannis is the guy, and this is the problem with Giannis, like one of the only flaws in his game is he really can be limited if you've got a guy that can at least body with him in the paint. And so,
yeah,
I don't know. It'll be intriguing. And that next game, I think Sunday at 7 p.m. And so, I don't know. It's been enjoyable to watch.
It's a fun matchup.
It really is.
8 p.m. starts are not my favorite thing in the world because it's 11 o'clock by it's over. But
also, those who need sleep. I need the TNT. I just need every game to be on TNT because ESPN or the ABC games.
Yeah.
Just way too many commercials. And that halftime show is just 20 minutes of commercials.
I don't watch them.
It's so bad.
Well, and I also don't love Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was initially like this is cool. They're fun. But now it's the same thing.
God, it just feels so tired.
I can't hear Jeff Van Gundy complain about the refs or players, you know, acting. It's just like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Over. Give me Doris Burke.
I feel like I've just tuned it out at this point.
Yeah. I watched the whole end of the game on mute in my bedroom, which is great. Perfect. Felt wonderful. Just
in totally quiet room.
Yes.
Just
no lights.
Watching. Just
you. Yeah. Well, my wife was sleeping.
Until I rode past him.
Pardon?
His joke.
My joke, dude.
Spaghetti bike.
there was open space there. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I could tell you were very uncomfortable with the...
We should probably do some TQs, man.
Well, hey, we gotta do the Taylor.
Oh gosh, I forgot about the rest of the podcast. John's back doing bigger and better. That graphic is fantastic.
Hello, Tashawn and my 50 babe. Okay, the Phoenix Suns are in the finals. This is the first time in the franchise history they've been up 2-0. Actually, they've been up at all against their opponent. The other two times were in 1976. Paul Westfall, the star of that team, playing Boston, Havlicek.
Paul Westfall.
Dick Van Arse, or whatever his name is.
Dick Van Arse.
I don't know. I looked up the roster. I was like, wow, these are the oldest names I've ever seen in my life. And then 93, the Barkley Suns team that went down 2 against the Bulls to start it.
Yeah.
And so this is the first time they've been up. Can you imagine being a Suns fan? Be so fun right now.
Alvin Adams is on that team, man. Putnam City High School graduate.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
Wow. Wow. So my question
go
to y'all.
Go Pirates.
Go. No.
I'm the only Pirate on this podcast.
Pick it up, Panthers.
That's right. A lot of Panthers here at the table.
A lot of Panthers. Wow. All right, my question to y'all. This is going to be hard to say. What's something you've done?
We read it. It's hard to say.
Okay. What is something you did for the first time that you were so proud of yourself for finally doing?
Good job. I thought about this and I thought about any home project that I've ever done.
Okay.
Like I put all new, when we moved into our house, we put all new locks on every door in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't rekey them because I'm not, that awesome. But so I went and got them all rekeyed, but then I had to install every single one of them. And it's like, I'm not handy at all. It's not good for me to try to do things. So most of the time we just pay people because I create more problems than I fix. And man, but when I finished that last one, because, sometimes it's about getting it fit correctly and I couldn't get this work. Anyway, in the last one, I literally left it halfway through the day. The house just opened because I couldn't finish it and then had to come back that night and finish it. And
you did it.
I walked around the house with my arms in the air.
Did you leave out of anger?
Always.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
If you haven't, if you've done a project without getting unnecessarily ragey, then I don't know that I understand you.
That's so true. That is so true. That's a really good
My wife's like, what's wrong? I said,
My wife.
You know, and I'm
what's
just,
wrong? Everything.
Everything. Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I'm out of here. She looks at you through like the door in the, or the hole in the door where the lock is supposed to be.
As I just fade into the distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rage coming off of my head. Yes, that was me.
Man, I'm sorry. Glad you did it though. And you're happy when you
Yeah, that's the last project I've done at my house. So 6 years ago.
Never forget it. Never forget it.
The rest, you just don't, you just pay.
It's hard because there's one, like, we had an outdoor faucet that's been dripping, and
yeah,
I've replaced the O-ring or whatever it is on it before. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, I think it's inside, like there's some sort of fault with the faucet itself.
Yeah.
And I've done so much damage plumbing wise. Like I've tried to reinstall like a faucet, and I bought like the tool so you can, you know, like twist it on.
You took it, you took the whole thing
and
out.
I stripped it, put a new, and it just was leaking all over the place. We had to replace the entire faucet. Careful. So I just was like, I'm not like, just pay somebody to do it. And the guy came out and literally just put a little O-ring in. I was like, all right, that'll be $100. I was like,
you got to call Andrew.
I was
going to
say, I have a guy. You should have called me. I've
got a guy. Used to use a at-home warranty or a home warranty, which
dude,
is
home warranty is the biggest sham in the world.
Are the worst.
It is the biggest sham.
Don't. I know that now.
I know you got it. You got to mess up.
My garage door breaks. They come out and they're like, "Well, we only replace the motor, and your motor seems to be in great condition."
Yeah.
Like, you son of.
They'll
like,
find any reason not to fix what.
Yeah.
Fixed.
We've never sounded more. Old suburban dad life than we are right now.
You know who else has destroyed their plumbing and they destroy it every day is Luke.
Hell, man. That's true.
You're talking about my body's plumbing? Please don't talk about my body on the pod.
Well, no, I'm talking about your body destroying your home plumbing.
Yeah.
Please don't talk about
it. You need a home warranty for that.
Yeah.
Hey, home warranty. I pooped it up again. I pooped it all up.
You know what's crazy? That actually is included in the home warranty.
Like, all right, we're coming out.
IBS is in the home warranty.
It's not.
Do you have one, Luke?
I'm confused.
Home warranty? No.
No, no. Do you have an
answer? Mine expires, and I'm so excited for it to expire. So I don't have to.
We have to stop talking about home warranties.
Yeah. No, it's the worst.
The thing that I did that at first... I did not do your question's hard to state.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I went and had like a case that went all the way through to trial, because a lot settled along the way, and then but you know when I had a trial, my first trial, it was like the scariest thing.
I bet that would be really scary.
And after it was just like I did it.
Did you win or you?
That's none of your business. But I have one. I have one. I have won some. You win some, you lose some.
Mm-hmm.
But
lives are at stake, Luke.
Huh?
Lives are at stake.
You win some, you lose some.
Guess what? At the end of the day, nobody wins.
That's wow. So true. Wow.
That's you know, that.
That's facts. The title of his memoir.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
But
I'd love
like,
a Luke memoir.
I would what absolutely would a Luke, read that cover to cover.
If you read Luke's memoir and you didn't know Luke, you would be like, "This is there's no way this is one person that is doing all these things and it makes sense in their life."
That's right, man. I'm great.
You are a unique individual.
You are a unique individual. What about you, Andrew?
I was telling this story earlier this week. Whenever we first started this pod, I wanted Tass Mellis of the Basketball Jones to come on the show with me, and I emailed him and I explained I probably wrote a very detailed message like trying to get him to come on the show, and he emailed me back saying, "Hey, that's great. I'll come on after you do 300 episodes." And I was like, wow, we had done like maybe like 70 or something like that. And so I like remembered that. And so when we hit 300, I emailed him back. I was like, "Hey, here's a screenshot of our 300th episode. Will you come on the show?" And he was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll come on now."
But I don't remember that episode. Did it go well?
I don't really remember it either.
Yeah, it was good. I remember it.
It was fine.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
you
matter.
Did it, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
It feels really strange in context to the fact of like you're kind of a peer with him now through the Athletic.
I'm definitely not a peer with
him. You're coworkers.
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
I mean, you are. You get paid by the same company.
Feels like a peer.
Yeah.
We're also peers.
We are.
We appear here together.
We're peers.
The first time I landed that kickflip, man. There's just so many times you're trying to flip the board. You know, you got to pop the board at the tail. You got to try to fling your foot off to where it flips around the first time. You hit one foot on it. Oh, man, that was so close. Okay, got one foot on it. Get the flip down. And then that first time you finally get both feet on the freaking screws right on top of the trucks.
Is this on Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Do you still skateboard?
No.
Oh.
I still whoop your ass in it, though.
I mean, without question.
Yeah. Trying to play skate after this, bro?
Hey, John's back to it bigger and better.
Oh, it's time to deep dive. Hey, guys. Here's my deep dive for this week. The guy, the Sons and Four guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The way his life has changed because he got into a fight.
Dude, that's so badass.
Punched a guy in the face multiple times and proclaimed Sons and Four.
Didn't just get in a fight. Absolutely.
Won the fight.
Wrecked
a guy.
Without a doubt.
Talk about something that would never, ever happen with the Oklahoma City Thunder. If a fan did this to somebody, they would say, you may not come back to the arena ever again.
Yeah.
And the Suns are like celebrating him.
Can we get this guy a statue?
And I think the Thunder would be wrong for that. You know?
This has gone the best way.
It was not at their arena.
Right. Yeah. And that's the other thing.
Wait, it was?
Yeah, it was.
It was in Denver.
No.
It was in Denver.
No.
I don't know. But what I would say is this.
I'm so sorry.
What I would say is this. Is this guy's life has gotten... His Instagram is suns.in.4. And his life is... I would imagine, I'm sure it was great before, but it has to be much, much better now. He has 82,000 followers. He got a signed Devin Booker jersey.
Yeah, that, Jay's right.
It was in Denver?
Yeah, because the Suns had home court advantage. They won 1-2.
How did he not get kicked out?
How was that in Denver and that guy didn't get beat up?
Oh, really? Still, what I would say is he got a signed Devin Booker jersey, which he has framed, and he now hosts parties, watch parties, and after parties at Riot House, which is a bar there in...
That's awesome.
There in Arizona. And the other thing, he has an eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Where he is selling... How many bids do you think a signed... Suns jersey signed by the Suns and Four guy. How many bids do you think that has? It is currently for sale for $405.
Wow. Signed by him.
Signed by him. The Suns and Four guy. Not a player.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know.
43 bids. There's still two days.
That is much lower than I thought it was going to be. I thought you were like setting us up for 5,000.
That's more than I would think. And then he's also selling autographed 8x10 photos. Of himself, the picture of him from the video holding up the four, signed by himself. You could buy it. Well, let me see. They each have like one is. Let me see. Hold on. It's $50, $49.99, and then his jerseys. You can get one for these have different amounts of times, but then they're different jerseys. $81, $156, $92, $117, and then autographed photos. This is what they're going for right now. 52, 25, 26, 20, 20. He's just signing stuff and selling it for a lot of money. It's great.
I'm surprised that I'm sure people have been digging into his past trying to find something to like get him on, and they haven't. He might be.
It doesn't matter. Does it matter? If you become famous by just destroying a guy, nobody's worried about your past. It's not like this guy's running for office.
That is not how Twitter works.
This is what happened. The guys that he got in a fight with after that video, they posted a video to their personal Instagrams where they called him a racial slur. And so everyone's like, these guys he fought, like this guy was the good guy.
Yeah.
Sons and Four guy. Those guys are the bad guys that deserve to get beat up.
I'm not 100% sure there's a good or bad guy in this, but what I do know is the guy that got
his face... If you're a Suns fan?
The guy that got his face punched in is the dumbest person I've ever seen because he literally has a chance just to walk away.
Yeah.
And he like is like putting something up and then he comes back at him, gets grabbed, bent over and punched repeatedly in the face.
A lot of times. Horrible fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horrible.
Horrible fighter. And if
you're not a good fighter, just walk away.
Yeah, don't get in the fight. But he did.
And he didn't. Yeah.
And he's not being celebrated. No. His team.
He does not sell any autographed posters of his face getting punched in.
He has been trying to do like interviews though and on just TikTok and stuff. Yes, like
and he
that.
Has and he has like a like it's like thing on his nose, like a blood, like where he was punched in the face, and he was like, "Yo, this is from something else. It didn't break my nose." And they're like, "You are obviously been punched in the face, and it has to hurt." And he's like, "No, it didn't hurt. This is from something else that happened after."
If there's something worse than just having your face being punched in, and that being shared millions of times around the world, you're now known as the guy.
Yeah, that got beat up by Sons and Four
by guys. Being a big dumb guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Sons and Four Guys just universally celebrated.
And he was trying to like steal on him too. He was trying to like be all sneaky about
jump in and punch this guy.
Nope. Nope. God, it was great. So that's my deep dive.
Wow. All right. We'll be right back after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And we're back from that quick break. Twitter questions.
Hey, our first Twitter question comes from @RodyRhodes2, who says, "Guys, I always miss the live streams as I'm from the UK. Can I just have a shout out, please?" Cry emoji.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Hello.
Our next Twitter question comes from @RileyMichner. Says, "If the Thunder think Cade or whoever their number one is has a higher ceiling than Shea, then SGA +6 for the number one is a no-brainer, right?"
I don't. What was that question?
Shea +6 for number one. Yeah, no-brainer.
Not a no-brainer.
If you think Cade's ceiling is higher, is it a no-brainer? Is the question?
Basically. Of course it is. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. But do the Pistons want to do that?
Because if they think that Cade's ceiling is higher, then why wouldn't they just stick with him?
Right. Because the thing about it is that the Pistons GM knows everything about the Thunder and knows everything about the Thunder guys.
Right. And the other thing for me is if that is an availability, I guess nobody else has the Shea. I guess the Shea is the big deal because I'm like...
The Shea is the big deal.
If it's Toronto... If it's Toronto and you're like, all right, Fred Van Vliet and four.
Right.
Is that the better deal?
No.
Because Scotty Barnes, I mean, I don't know. It's been said it's a 4-person draft. So getting it, like, would you rather be 6 and have Shea and then you're pairing him with Barnes or Keon Johnson or Kuminga maybe? But I'm just saying, like, is there another team that could make an offer that's comparable that has a higher pick? Cavs, no. I mean, Shea is the difference maker.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that it's, unless they're really high on Jalen Suggs, maybe you can get Suggs at 4. Maybe that's the move, but I think Shea is like more of a sure thing than anything else you can get. I don't know that the Pistons would entertain anything like that, but if you're the Thunder, I'm not saying you should do it, but I think that it's certainly something that you shouldn't, even as a Thunder fan, just completely dismiss outright for lots of reasons. And number one is just like the plan of winning a title, right? Are you certain that Shea is going to help lead this team to a title? Like, I'm not certain of that. Would you be more certain if you had Cade plus, like, you would have a very high draft pick next year if Cade, if you traded
in,
Shea
in theory,
and you brought
yes.
in a rookie? I mean, you absolutely would. You'd have a much better chance at a higher draft pick. You'd be a much worse team.
You'd be in that top three, which guarantees you not to fall out of five, right?
Yeah.
Are you sure that Trae Young is the guy that could lead that team to an NBA what? Championship?
You just brought the Hawks up.
No, just
pull Andrew.
Hold on.
Are you trying? Are you baiting me? Is this
no,
bait?
I'm just. What I did was I went back and looked at the 2018 draft to see like where Shea, if we knew Shea was going to be at this level, where yeah. he would be drafted.
Yeah.
Probably three. Luka, Trey, and then SGA, Shea. Right?
Yeah.
Which those Ayton? Three guys.
Where's Ayton? He's the next David Robinson.
He's David Robinson.
See, I think people could argue at this point that they'd take Ayton over SGA.
Yeah, you could definitely argue that.
So either way, you're four.
They're wrong, but.
Three.
Three, four.
Yeah.
Three, four.
But that's an insane draft at that point, yeah. right? Like yeah. that top four in that draft is really, really, really special.
Yeah, very good.
And so. Do you feel as highly about Cade as you would about those top three guys? And I know my argument has hindsight on its side.
Yeah, it's a risk. It's without a doubt a risk. And could blow up in your face. Because there's a chance that Cade is not a superstar.
But this is the debate about the draft. Is would you rather have what is a known quantity mm-hmm. compared to a shot somewhat in the dark? Because mm-hmm. There's been a lot of number one picks yeah. that have busted.
Yeah.
But you look at Cade, and this is where you have to. For me, is I just trust people that know. There's a lot of people that are way more intelligent and more in the loop as far as what. I'm the gone.
Like, I know. The Luke, yeah, Luke just said this. We it's all over. Tried really hard to just let it go.
Really, really hard.
Jay.
Because you could argue they all have.
It's a good time.
You can make the argument.
But you know what I'm saying? In the sense of like, there's a lot of guys that
we're talking are technically
incredibly high on Cade Cunningham, right? Like,
yes.
Now, I don't know. What I don't know. Like, you've talked to Sam Vecenie. Like, if you yeah. were to ask him directly the difference between a guy like Shea, hey, we've got to continue to do this.
I've got to go to work. I love you guys. Hey, thanks, okay. listeners.
Sorry, all right, bust it up, man. Oh, man.
If you talk to him about how he would have re-graded Shea,
yeah.
like, where would they be comparably?
I don't think, question. I mean, if contracts and everything is equal, I don't think he'd do it. I don't know that he would do it either.
I'm never a trade known quantity for hope this guy's better than that guy.
It's a weird divide in our yeah, pod because I'm with
it's,
more on Taylor side.
But it's more than that though. It's not just that.
It's the reset.
It's a reset.
It's a full-blown reset.
There's just a lot to it. It's
that's also operating though as if you know if you reset that's better for the franchise than the place they're at. Right.
I mean all it does is it gives you a chance to be better.
What if there's a chance right now, though, that this is going to be better than that option?
It certainly could be. It's
the grass is not always greener.
But sometimes it is.
I think for me, and I think what I would assume Sam is looking at doing, and Andrew mentioned this last night in a text conversation, the more palpable thing to happen mm-hmm. yeah. in the next 3 weeks is that Sam uses assets, this draft, next right. draft, another player, whatever,
yeah.
to get to the three and draft Suggs, or if Mobley's there, or if Jalen Green falls there. Like, if you can get the three, this is why, honestly, for me, this is why the disappointment of the lottery was far more than just,
oh, yeah.
shucks.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it was a big deal.
It threw the whole franchise into kind of this weird in-between stage, because Shea has proven to me, at least, and I think a majority of people who watch the NBA would agree, mm-hmm. Shea is too good to really bottom out the way that the Thunder need. That's why
yeah.
it behooved the Thunder to have him injured for such a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So for me is I think that and Sam is smarter than us, like without question. And he sees this draft. And if he thinks that Scotty Barnes, or if he thinks that the Magic are going to take this person and he's going to have Kuminga fall in his lap, mm-hmm. and he thinks, I'm actually, the grade between Suggs and Green and those guys in my book is almost negligible, mm-hmm. then he's going to stand pat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you look at a majority of people that really know this draft, and Michele and Andrew have dealt with this as well, is there's a pretty clear drop off between 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. And then 5 and 6 versus the rest of the draft are obviously different as well. Mm-hmm. So what is it going to take for you to get one of the Jalens or Mobley? And then you go all in on that direction. Because I think the question for me is, what's the difference between Cade and those guys?
I can just tell you what I think.
You think Suggs and Cade, there's not that much differentiation.
Suggs is my favorite player in the draft. Cade has better size. You know, and the fact that he played for Oklahoma State and the fact that he's...
There's some homegrown kind of feeling.
From like
that.
He's 3 hours Texas. Away.
Yeah.
Like that's also something. There's something to that as well.
The energy of, and Alex brought this up in the conversation last night we were having, the energy that having Cade on this team would bring to the fan base is far more than the energy that is for or surrounding Shea on this team.
Oh, people would be very excited.
That's a difference. That's
people would be very, very excited. Like, oh, that's a shame that we lost Shea, but we got Cade Cunningham. I think people would be very, very excited about that.
So who do you, if you have, I mean, obviously the dream is we're going to move up to 3.
Yeah,
which I think is the most gettable.
Can you get to 3 with assets that the Thunder have without giving away a good player asset?
You've got to convince Cleveland.
What's a good player asset to you?
Dort? Like, yeah, let's just put Dort as like that middle line.
I just don't think that you, if you're the Thunder, you can care that much about anybody on this roster. You have a chance to go outside of Shea. You just can't care that much about anybody.
Poku? What if they wanted Poku?
No, I'm saying like 6.
Then you do it. Then you do it. Then you do it.
Do you remember the last game of the season?
Yeah, I was there.
I would trade Poku in 6 for 3.
I mean, probably.
You have to do it. You have to do it.
Poku in Cleveland is a disaster. I'm just letting you know that.
Yeah, Poku.
I know. I feel bad for Poku, but if you're the Thunder, you have to do it.
And then you're pretty much asset poor at that point. The best shot that the Thunder have is to convince Kobe Altman that we'll take Kevin Love into our space for 3 and 6. Well, you can have 6. We'll take Kevin Love. You can, and even if it's, you can have Kimba or...
Well, I mean, it'd be like multiple picks. You'd have to send multiple picks.
Whatever, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like being the primary piece that's changed over is not... The Thunder are not asset rich outside of Shea, Dort. I'm saying people.
Oh, people.
Yeah.
There are a ton of draft picks, obviously.
It would have to be draft picks, though.
But that's why you have all those draft picks, to use those as the assets so that you can build a young team without having to trade your young players that... Hopefully,
but the issue once again
potential to be much better.
For sure, the issue once again goes back to the fact of like, if you have the number three pick in this draft, mm-hmm. why would you take a future pick that is more than likely going to be unless Sam, and this, I don't know if Sam has ever done this, but send a pick with zero protections. You can have our pick in 2027 with zero protections. Mm-hmm. Because every pick that normally gets sent out is at least top 4 protected. You have the top 3 protected in what is being said to be a really high quality top end of the draft. Why would you trade it away?
It's such a hard thing to navigate because Sam has to play short game and long game at the same time with every single deal.
It's been what he's been doing since the franchise moved to Oklahoma City. It's what he's doing.
No, it's all long game. Like all of it. You have to know that like everything is about the long game right now. Every single thing.
No. But I'm talking about like what I meant by that statement is it's the thing that frustrated supposedly Kevin Durant was.
Oh, I know that. But if you're, he has to do it.
Not
though.
Investing in the team that was versus he's about that balance right. of, hey, we've got to bring in guys that can help right now. But really, we're also drafting for the team that's 5, 10 years from now.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to have a team here that has like that's going to be good for a long time and not be completely dried up of assets, then that's what you have to do. I don't know.
I guess the way I look at like trading Shea for number one, going back to the question, is, and I texted this to y'all, but it's like Shea could be a superstar. We know we have more confidence in him becoming a superstar than we do in confidence and hope that Cade can be a superstar, just because you don't know what these guys are going to be in the NBA until they're in the NBA. You have no idea. They could be killers in college. It doesn't, it might not matter, you know? And it's like, okay, do you want to pay $1 million to maybe get $1 million and 100,000 or $0 or $100 or whatever? And it's like, what is,
sorry,
you know what I'm saying though? Like pay a, you have $1 million. Do you want the chance at 1.1 million right. by paying $1 million and then you get zero? And then what's the first time you did something and you were proud of it?
I think, yeah, that's right. I think to help, like maybe with your analogy, I think that, that if you make this move, you're not trying to trade $1 million for 1.1 million. You're trading $1 million in the hopes that it's an investment in the sense that this guy could be 10 million.
Right.
You only make this trade if your scouting department and you have said Cade has the potential to be in a all-time level of player.
Yeah.
You're not trading him for a negligible difference unless the whole decision is we're stuck in this in-between timeline and we need to hit reset. And we think right. getting Cade to Shea is maybe a just fair split on their potential. Mm-hmm. But what it does is it gives us another year to have a shot at a Chet or an Amone Bates or insert whoever it is. Because Chet's not even the number one potential draft pick. There's a kid going to Duke, I think. But you look at these guys and you're thinking, he gives us a shot to do the rebuild on a timeline that we are more in control of. And that's the conversation. And that's what's hard is we don't want, it makes no sense to give up a player that we know is good to great for a guy that we have no idea about.
Right.
Unless the long-term plan, which is what Sam has consistently communicated, is that this is a rebuild toward a championship contender. And it's here's the reality that every Thunder fan needs to just recognize. This is going to be hard to build a contender, a championship contender, with this current roster. Yeah. Unless they pull the Donovan Mitchell and at 16, 18, or if they move up to 13, 12, and they hit on a guy that was shot. Like if Moses Moody's the guy and they, or Josh Giddey, and they get up to 10, 11, 12, and they draft that guy, and all of a sudden this guy that was projected to be a good player, but not an all-time talent, ends up becoming that, then yes. But that takes a lot of luck. It takes some, you know, some good scouting and all the different things, but it takes a lot of luck. You find Jokic in the second round, right? Like there are teams that have done it that way.
Isn't that kind of what Shea has become though? Is that kind of player you're talking about?
I mean, yes. Yeah. But you have to do it again with a guy that probably has a ceiling that's even higher than Shea's. So that's why it's like, if Scotty Barnes is the guy at six and he turns into this unbelievable versatile and he can shoot, he can score, then the Thunder can build a championship contender out of this roster. But the likelihood of that is far less than if you took Cade and then went back into the top three next year. That's all I'm saying, why it's at least worth the conversation. Is that fair?
Yeah. Also, we're talking maybe the Thunder only have 5 years left with Shea. Like that could be a reality versus you start the clock with 8 or 9 years with Cade or whoever you get in the draft. Like there's a chance that Shea's done after his second contract in OKC.
If Cade is that good, though, it's really like seven.
Yeah, but if Shea's that good, they're just going to turn him. I don't think Sam will ever let a guy walk without getting assets for him again.
Yeah, especially, that's.
So in five years.
So it may be two.
And then you get Shea and it's.
It may be 2 years. You know,
another
left.
Draft haul to really hit bottom.
I know. So like that's also a reality that you have to look at.
Or Shea is really, really, really good and still continues to be way better than what we thought
he could be. And then it can build around him. I mean, you don't know. That's why I think one of the other lessons I'm wondering if Sam learned is like instead of trading before season, which is what he's always done, with the James Harden. I think one of the only arguments that I really kind of buy into for the Harden thing is at least let him play.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
let him play that season out. And if you need to trade him in the offseason or to trade deadline or whatever. Hey, so I want to move on just because we got 1,000 Twitter questions that we're not going to hit. So let's try to fire through some of those. This next one's from at Rob Whitrock. When should we expect a trade to most likely happen? So the question is will it happen before the trade or the draft night, or will it happen the night of the draft? What's your, like, what's normal?
Just depends.
Okay. Just depends. Good answer.
Usually at the draft.
Yeah. That's kind of my thought too.
Yeah.
Which is why you should come on July 29th, the Fassler Hall from 6 to 10 p.m. minimally 10 p.m. maybe later. Should come because that night is going to be full of excitement. And here's the deal. I really want to encourage you already to put your phones down for, we're not going to, this is not the spoil the draft for everybody. Mm. But the hard part is if a trade happens. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to put my phone
down.
Not now.
You can be fine. You guys do whatever you want to do. Next question, at Dort, P-O-Y. Who will be the Russell Westbrook of this draft? The unexpected pick, the one that draft analysis got completely wrong, thought to be a defensive guard, but ended up becoming the best player in the draft.
Whoever the Thunder pick, as far
anybody,
as Thunder
anybody
fans
you
are
think,
concerned.
Anybody you think that is underrated by a lot of the analysts today?
Jaden Springer?
Is that the other Tennessee kid?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him.
I don't know. I mean,
who are you? Who are you higher on than a lot of other people?
Well, Suggs, if he thinks it's the same as
Moses Moody.
I'm higher on Jalen Suggs than a lot of people. A lot of people have him at like 5 or 6, which I think is
really
nuts.
Yeah.
I think that's nuts. Or even at 4. And the 4 in that group, I think, is nuts.
Suggs has this energy around him that's just very similar to what happened with Trey and Luka in that draft.
I'll tell you
where
this.
It's like he's clearly a top 3 guy in this draft, but let's overthink and overanalyze.
Yeah, it's these teams that are betting more on potential than reality, in my opinion, to be honest. Like, you watch Suggs play at the highest level, and he's a competitor. He's a supreme athlete in the sense that he was Mr. Football at the same time that he was this star basketball player. Like, I would take Suggs in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even above. I mean, really, like, Cade would be the only one that I would pause on. I love the idea of Jalen Green. There's a lot of unknown with him that I feel there's more certainty with Suggs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mobley, I'll tell you, the video that, and if you haven't watched those on, make sure you subscribe, especially if you're on YouTube. Subscribe to the Athletics YouTube page. Andrew and Sam Vecenia have been doing some draft kind of breakdowns of players and talking about Evan Mobley, like hearing Sam, because I'm not watching the Pac-12 tournament. Like, I don't give a crap about that.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to him talk about how Evan Mobley really turned it into a different gear in the Pac-12 tournament leading into the NCAA tournament, to where he just kind of took the team on his shoulders. That's more encouraging than some of the things I've thought about Mobley going into the draft. Mm-hmm. And so, I would be jacked. If Thunder got Suggs and Shea together, all of a sudden this whole conversation's different.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, so let me ask this next question. All right, here we go. This is from at Ben Elephant King. What Down to Dunk listener reaction do you expect on draft night? Number one, tears of joy. Number two, tears of sadness. Number three, mass confusion.
Mass confusion. It's always mass confusion.
I was going to say, it's been mass confusion. Last draft was maybe one of the times where it wasn't mass confusion. But before that, like, Darius Baisley.
That was the most... Like,
it was mass confusion. Yeah. Everybody was chanting bowl bowl.
Oh my god, I forgot about
and
that.
And then they took Darius Baisley, which just said Darius Baisley USA.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like,
who is this guy?
We got the kid from the United States.
We got him. We got him.
All right, next question from at JSNDVS. What is the most refreshing summertime beverage you've ever had?
I've ever had.
So here's what I want to say about this question.
Fresh lemonade.
That's actually not wrong. But for me, it's always about the situation.
Mm.
The beverage is enhanced by the situation part which you partake it in.
I agree so
like
far.
Like post lawn mowing.
Mm-hmm. Beer.
Or a lemonade or anything refreshing. That's a pretty substantial drink.
Anything refreshing is the most refreshing drink to you?
I'm saying the situation defines the peak refreshing.
Here's the thing, though, Jay. If you're being honest, a nice cold beer, nice light cold beer in any situation in the summer is probably the number one thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We know what Luke's answer would be.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, we already
at Pepsi United, I'd like to know what the Fry Pod crew thinks of the Barnes versus Moody debate. We've already got Andrew's opinion.
Yeah.
You have any preference on that? You're
strong,
out on
really on strong opinions, but I'll save you time. Me and Andrew basically agree on every point on this. So we don't have to get into it.
You're out on Barnes.
No, I'm not out on Barnes. I guess I don't really care unless they can trade up. It's like at this point, it seems like, well, whoever they get at six, we'll see how it goes kind of deal. Same with Kuminga, Barnes, everything. It's like, well, you know,
we'll I think see. Moody, but that's the debate because Moody is the more, I don't think it's certain, but you would have a lot more confidence coming out with that. Like, hey, Moody isn't the high. Barnes' ceiling probably is potentially, and Kuminga ceiling is probably higher than Moody's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the floor for Moody, I think he's an immediate contributor on a decent level. You know, kind of like if you look at, I mean, think of, it feels like there's 20 of these guys in last year's draft between mm-hmm. The guy that Detroit got, the guy that Memphis got, Bane and
Beef Stew.
there's just a lower floor. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Hey, thanks for listening. July 29th, 6 p.m., Fassler Hall, downtown Oklahoma City.
Midtown.
Whee! Make your plans to be there.
Be there, be square.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.